did this earlier this morning, just warming it up, and obviously we practiced all week on this, haven't we? Okay, that's a big fat lie. Don't be lying from behind a microphone at the church house. But great is thy faithfulness. Like I said earlier this morning, we fail as humans, as men especially. And boy, I can't speak for anybody but David McDonald, and I failed miserably in so many aspects of my life. But when I fail, if I get mad and I'm upset with somebody else, it's sure not God, because he just doesn't change. And his faithfulness is always just, like the song says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. So, great stuff.
Eight, we did find a set of keys in the parking lot. Anybody have a flower key that wants to admit it? It's pretty unique, so. All right, well, there are keys here that were in the parking lot, and if you're missing keys, then they're up here, so you're welcome to get them. I don't know what kind of car that fits, but it's all good. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. There are some great questions in the Bible. And I understand it to be that when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's not, you know, we say things, and I've caught myself doing the same thing. We say things like, God wants to see what we're made of. Or God wants to find out, I'm not cause trouble or stir up anything among anybody, but God already knows. God doesn't want to see how I'm going to react to circumstances. He already knows how I'm going to react because he's omniscient, right? I mean, he already knows. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning and everything in between. And so, times where God asks questions, but not because he doesn't know the answer, but because he wants us to find out an answer. After he asks it in the scriptures, we find that here in Romans chapter number 8. Best chapter in the Bible to me is, I think I talked, I'm not sure, but when I was growing up, my grandfather paid us a quarter for every Bible verse that we Romans chapters that we memorized. I didn't get the whole chapter memorized. I was only down to 12 or 13, verse 12 or 13 there. But I still do that this morning. But it's an interesting chapter because it talks about how we're to live and what we're to yield ourselves and how we're supposed to follow Christ and whether or not we're in Christ and the carnal mind and all those types of things. And then we pick up there in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 24. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You know, we know, and we'll see here in a moment, we know that Christ is seated at the right hand of God making intercession. And he's interceding on our behalf, but that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. Isn't it interesting? Godhead, two persons of the Godhead are praying on our behalf to the Father. That's pretty amazing. And notice again there, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And notice in the middle of the verse there, the reason is because we don't know what we're supposed to pray for. So you know what happens? We pray, God, and then you fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit goes to the Father on our behalf and says to God himself, to the Father, you know, Dan Weber asked for this, but that's really not what he needs. Right? Because I don't know what I'm supposed to pray for. I think I do. I've got some wants and desires, right? Well, the Bible tells me that we don't know what we're supposed to pray for, so the Holy Spirit has to pray for us. Aren't you thankful we have a God who cares enough about us that says, you go ahead and say the words and I'll take care of the rest, you know? I'll intercede on your behalf to the Father. And then notice he says there in verse 27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then we have that all-familiar verse. Everybody knows verse 28. A lot of people do. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his, what's the last word? Say it with me. Purpose. So let me play it out here, okay? It's prayer time for me during the day, and I go to the Lord. I say, okay, Lord, pull out my list or go through my mental checklist, all the things, and I begin to pray for things. And the Holy Spirit, God himself, goes to the Father on my behalf for me and says, he means well, but he doesn't know what he's really saying. He doesn't really know what he needs. And the Father, who knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit interceding on my behalf, gets his prayer answered every time, and therefore I get my prayer answered every time because the Holy Spirit intercedes on my behalf. Oh, I may not have gotten answered the words that came out of my mouth, you understand, because I don't know what to pray for. And the Holy Spirit has to pray for me because I'm clueless. And God always agrees with himself, right? And when the Holy Spirit says, Father, that's not really what... He's saying that, but he doesn't know what he really needs, and this is what he really needs. And guess what happened? All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Why? Because the Holy Spirit never asks God the Father for anything out of his will. I do. All right, we do. Because, you know, the Bible talks about we want to consume it on our lust. We ask amiss. There's a lot of different reasons why. But the Holy Spirit never contradicts the will of God in praying for me and interceding for me. And as a result of it, the prayer gets answered. And it may not get answered in the way that I feel like it ought to be answered because I'm not saying the things that I need to say because I don't know what to say. Everybody with me? Let me hear the rocks rattle, right? You stand the kids in school. Let me hear the rocks rattle. So understand, in this ministry of intercession, by the way, we are also given the ministry of intercession to pray for one another on behalf to God. But isn't it wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us because we don't really know what to pray for? We'll keep going. He says there, verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? What's the solution? What's the conclusion of this? And notice the question, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I've heard that question asked, well, the world and the devil are against us, and it's true. But that's not what that's talking about. If you look at the context of what's going on here, I'm against myself because I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know what to ask God for. And when God is on his own side, the Holy Spirit is on the side of the Father and asking according to the will of God every time, and all those things are working together for my good, then the prayer gets answered every single time, but usually, may I be the first to admit, usually not in the way the words come out of my mouth or come to my mind or heart. Why? Because I don't know what to pray for like I ought to. But prayer gets answered because God is praying for me. The Holy Spirit is praying for me. Keep reading. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Here it is. who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So again, I have the Holy Spirit and I have the Lord Jesus Christ praying for me to the Father and always getting the prayer answer because God never disagrees with himself or contradicts himself. But usually not the way the words come out of my mouth. Now, may I say it this way? Every once in a while, I get lucky, okay? And I, the words that come out of my mouth are exactly what they ought to be, and perhaps, you know, God uses that. But understand this, by and large, generally speaking, we don't know what to pray for, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And Jesus Christ intercedes for us. And the prayer gets answered. And there's a lot of questions in there, but I want you to notice the next question here in verse number 35. Because of all of that, here's the question I think that deserves an answer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We have an intellectual understanding of the fact that God loves us. We know that. I think just about everybody in the world, I suppose you could say, maybe at least in America, a large majority, I would venture to say, would confess the fact that God is love and God loves people and all those types of things and so on. But notice the context of what's going on here, okay? We're talking about the interceding Holy Spirit. We're talking about the interceding Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry that they have on our behalf to God and the fact that all these things work together for good. What do we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And because of all of that, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice he keeps going there in verse number 35. Paul, of course, is writing here, and he says, shall tribulation? That means pressure, by the way. Tribulation is pressure. You under a lot of pressure lately? Stressed out? Distress? Calamity. That's what that word is. Distress is the idea that you're hemmed in and it feels like you can't hardly breathe because it's just crushing the life out of you. That's what distress is. Persecution, suffering, famine is mentioned there. What is that? Well, absence, missing things that you need in order to survive. Nakedness, lacking what you need in order to be fulfilled, peril, sword. Notice verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And of course, we go back to the question, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Any of these things? And notice the first word of verse number 37. No! Nay! None of these things. But notice the wording. The wording is very important. Notice the very next word. Nay, in all these things. That's a tough one. Not after I've gone through it. Not before I'm about to go into it. But in the middle of it, in all these things. Do these things separate me from the love of Christ? Do these things come in and prove the fact that perhaps there's something there that has caused God's love to diminish for me? No! And right in the middle of all of the distress and the persecution and the famine and the nakedness and the sword and the peril and all of these difficulties, right in the middle of it, I know that Christ loves me. Isn't that such a wonderful thought? To know that Christ loves me despite all of the obstacles of life, All of the hindrances, all of the difficulties, all of the problems, all of the stressful situations, all of the loss and heartache and mistreatment and discouragement, all of the negative things that we can think about, in the middle of all of those things, Christ comes to us and he loves us. In all these things. And notice he says, nay, verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I can get through them. And not just get through them, I can overcome them and get through them. I'm not just a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror because of the love of Christ for me. I can overcome these things. I don't have to be destroyed by these things. I don't have to be overwhelmed by these things. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be defeated. I can overcome. I can be a conqueror, but not just a conqueror. I can be more than a conqueror because of the love that I have from Christ Jesus. Notice what he says again in verse number 38. For I am persuaded. Look, you're not going to change my mind on this, he said. I'm persuaded. Take it to the bank. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, in case I forgot anything, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death? You ever lost a loved one? I have. May I say, in that you can find Christ's love. Life, you say, remember Jonah? Jonah was upset that God gave life, remember? And he, as a matter of fact, he said, that's why I didn't want to go to Nineveh to begin with, because I knew you were going to save these people alive. And then what did he do? He said, woe is me, and he sat down and pouted and whined and cried and wanted to die because of it. God, just take me. There's no use for me living. Even in life, even in the life of those perhaps that a little hard to, you know. Yes, neither death nor life. Notice he says there, nor angels. Now we're getting to a spiritual realm, principalities and powers. Those are all spiritual things. Spiritual beings. Look, those are powerful creatures, but guess what? They can't separate you from the love of Christ. God still loves you in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. He said, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which we have in Christ Jesus. And in the middle of all of those difficulties, in the middle of all the heartaches, in the middle of all of that destruction and discouragement and all the things that we think of that we call bad things of life, God comes to us and says, I love you. God, how do I know you love me? Well, my love was proven to you in the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, notice, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know the verse, almost everybody knows the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We got all these obstacles in life. We got all of these perplexities, all of these distresses, all of these troubles and trials and all of that. And if we're not careful, the devil will come and whisper in our ear, if you were truly loved by God, he would not allow you to go through these things. And we hear that from time to time. Great tragedies happen around the world, and people will say, if God is a God of love, why would he let bad things happen to good people? To be honest with you, I don't pretend to know the will of God or the mind of God. But I know this, God loves me, and he loves you. And I'm not gonna try to stand and try to justify all the things that God has ever done in your life and the circumstances that you faced, or anybody else for that matter. I don't know the mind of God. His mind is far above my mind. His thoughts are far above my thoughts. But I do know this, God loves us. And he proved his love by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cruel cross. We heard all kinds of songs about it this morning. We talk about the resurrection, it's a great and wonderful thing. And we talk about the death of Christ, and it's a necessary thing, and the shedding of blood. But do you really understand the difficulty that Christ went through to prove his love to you? The crown of thorns that was placed on his brow, the ridicule that he went through, the pain and suffering physically that he went through. No wonder he prayed, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And in that, he sealed his love for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. No one. Nobody. Nothing. Been through a difficulty? I have. Been through disappointment, mistreatment. Yeah, I have. You have. We all have, haven't we? We all go, look. Creatures, we have a sin nature, and it's a natural thing for us to offend and hurt. But understand this, there's a God in heaven who loves you. Who loves you. Somebody said this, you probably heard the statement. You know, if I was the only one alive, Christ still would have died. Maybe, I don't know, the Bible doesn't really say that. That might be true, I don't disagree with the statement. But I do know this, regardless of whether or not I'm the only one alive, God still loves me. Somebody said this, you've probably heard people say it, maybe you said it yourself. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And that's great. I don't disagree with the statement. I'm not sure, you go through the scriptures, and I understand the thought there, and maybe pulling some things out of the scriptures and kind of, you know, whatever with all that. But I do know this for sure. God loves me. I may have been on his mind or not. It doesn't really matter because he loves me. And nothing can take that away. Nobody can diminish that. Nobody can separate me from that. Nobody, nothing, nobody or nothing can diminish that in any way, shape, or form. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Death? Life? Angels? Principalities? Powers? Things present, things to come, height, depth, anything else, anything at all? No. No. Because God loves you. Father, help us. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for proving your love and showing your love to us through Calvary. God, help us in the difficult times, in the distresses, in the perplexities, in the obstacles that come into our lives. God, help us to see your hand in those things and to know your love. God, be real. Let your love be real to us at those times especially. God, forgive us for the times that we doubt your love for us. Forgive us for the times where we're tempted to think that perhaps your love has been diminished because of something or someone. And Father, help us to be sure of your love this morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the message primarily is to believers this morning, really. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you've never claimed the love that God has for you as your own, then you should do that this morning. You'd say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I can't remember a specific decision or choice that I made to trust Christ. Kind of just thought I was always in it, just thought I grew into it, but it doesn't work that way. You've got to make a decision or choice to trust Christ. You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? You'd slip your hand up. I'll not call you out or embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. My prayer can't save you. My prayer won't save you, but I'll pray for you. You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Child of God, let me ask you, has there been a time where you were tempted to doubt God's love for you? Maybe even today, maybe right now, I don't know. You would say, I'm so thankful that I have a God who loves me and proved that love for me by what he does for me. Father, help us again. Help us, Lord, to always know and recognize your love for us. Christ's name. Stand with you, would. What number do we have? 220. As the instruments play, perhaps God's speaking to your heart. The altar's open. Talk to the Lord, even right where you are. Talk to the Lord about it. Just be thankful for his love this morning, if nothing else. Jesus Christ. Songbook and open to number 220. I want you to look at the words of the last verse. Look at verse number 3. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You know, not only does God love you, but his love is eternal. It never runs out. It never runs dry. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning, and hope it was help and encouragement. And tell somebody about Jesus this week. And I don't know, a coworker, or a relative, somebody, a neighbor, checkout person at the grocery store. Tell somebody about Jesus this week, and that'll be good. Any announcements before we go? Ladies, don't forget, if you're interested in helping with the meal on Tuesday, that'll be right back here in front of the sound booth. Men or Awana workers, real quick, in the large classroom over here. Brother Tim needs to go over a few things. Just a couple minutes, each of those things, not going to be very long. I know the roast is in the oven and things like that, so anyway, we don't want to burn any of that stuff. And then if you're able to, there will be a choir practice, don't forget, today at 4 o'clock for the funeral. If you're able to help out with that, that would be an encouragement to the family, of course, I'm sure. So anything else? Any other announcements? All right, Brother Tweed, would you lift your voice, please, and dismiss us in prayer.